Good morning and welcome to Welton Baptist Church. We're really glad you're here with us. In this next little bit of time, maybe 40 minutes or so, there's going to be a time of worship, 15, 20 minutes of sung worship. And our prayer is that you connect with the heart of God through those words that we're singing. After that, there's going to be teaching from the Word of God, from the Bible. And again, our prayer and our expectation is that you will hear something fresh from God for you for today. We love it that you're here and we would love to connect with you. But for now, stick around, enjoy the worship and the teaching, and we pray that you meet with God.
Good morning. You know, the English language is widely regarded as one of the most difficult languages to master. And I should know, having failed English O-level 7 times. Apparently, it's difficult because of its unpredictable sort of spelling and challenges with the grammar. I'm sure if you asked Jean-Phi, he would explain that much better. But there's a further difficulty with English, and that is a thing called polysemy. And that's the capacity of a word to have multiple related meanings. A good example, for instance, would be sound, the word sound. Now, the word sound could mean a noise, it could mean a body of water, or it could mean something solid. You know, he's pretty sound. You get the idea anyway. And what I think I wanted to do this morning is think about a word, and a word, think about kind of what it means to us. And the word I want to consider is the word intimacy. Now, what does intimacy really mean to you? Does it conjure up perhaps something a bit rude? I don't know. Or perhaps it reminds you of a relationship with a parent or perhaps a friend. You might have an intimate knowledge of something perhaps, or some people would describe intimacy as it could be a place. You could have an intimate restaurant. Now, we'll come back to that later, but what I want us to see this morning, that intimacy with God is something that lies at the core of our becoming the person that he called us to be. To realise like the fullness of his purposes in our life. So we'll come back, as I say, to that a bit later. Now, the theme of this morning and the series that we're coming to the end of has been just a simple line of, I lack nothing. Now, my hope this morning is that we will see that God's purposes for us are more than sufficient. But they're about production. They're about an abundant overflow of production through us, not just a sufficiency. And we'll see that we can find this through an intimacy with God. But before we dwell on this any further, I'd like to just focus on a verse. And it's this one in Hebrews 3:7. And it says this, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. So it's a very powerful line, is it? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. When God speaks and we're open to change, then he can really do monumental things. But you know, so often, if you're like me, I just want to dig my heels in. The hackles rise and I become kind of defensive and perhaps even a bit self-righteous. It's that thing of, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. I just want to be who I am. I think Dave's talk on Jonah was really very powerful about this. And when God said to Jonah to go one way, and Jonah had just a very different plan. This happened to me, a kind of similar thing. Oh, some years ago we had somebody at Welton, a guy called Tony Bissick, who sadly went to be with the Lord, I think it was earlier this year. But Tony was if people who don't know him, Tony was a kind of an eccentric sort of fellow and very charismatic and exuberant in the things he would say. But Tony once said to me, he came up behind me and said, Jonathan, you need to get baptized. And this was some years ago before I was. And I just dismissed that out of hand, of kind of, who do you think you are to say that to me? I certainly know about it. And of course he was right. And it took me a bit of time to actually come round to that. But sometimes we have to humble ourselves and actually acknowledge that God is right and not dig our heels in. Because we like to think, and I like to think I'm pretty open-minded, but anything I've found that challenges my worldview is potentially offensive. And perhaps this morning God will challenge you in some way. It can really be hard to swallow, but we need to understand and be able to hear God. And the key to that is first understanding the very character of God himself. You see, we cannot do Christianity light. We can't work at an emotional level for the whole of our lives. We need to believe what we believe and we need to know what we know. We need to get into the Word of God and understand it. So when something shakes our worldview, we can respond to it with a knowledge of whether it is consistent with what God would say. We will recognize his voice. And we would know if it's consistent with his character, with scripture, if it's trustworthy. Otherwise, we're in huge danger, as I think I was at that time with Tony, of rejecting anything that doesn't particularly fit in with our thinking. And that kind of becomes religion, really, where we just have a blinkered worldview, excluding God from our very thinking. But when God speaks and we recognise it, he just might turn our world upside down, but only if we choose to let him. Now, in this series, we've looked at a number of people whose worlds were turned upside down, and each of them had the ability to walk away from God or choose to embrace him. And the decision brings monumental consequences. It did in these stories and it does in our lives. With, of course, Jonah, the impact was huge on the people of Nineveh. Peter, the growth of the church was formed by that. And with Ruth, there was a great impact on the nation of Israel. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at Paul. And we're going to be looking at the impact that he has had on us. Now, we all know the story of Paul. I'm sure we kind of do generally. The infamous persecutor of Christians who on the Damascus Road was struck blind by Jesus. And he went on from that place to become one of the most influential figures in the New Testament through his mission journeys and the letters he wrote to the churches, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, etc. They're all documented, as we know, in the New Testament. But so often with the Bible, we have a habit of stepping over things. Now in Galatians 1, I find this, and it surprised me because I wasn't kind of really aware of it. It says this, because Paul starts talking about how they're like the immediate response he had to that Damascus Road experience. And he says this in Galatians 1:18. It says, "Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem and to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. Now, I wasn't really expecting that, and I've not particularly ever picked up on that. Just those few words. Then, after 3 years. Three hidden years. What was all that about? The Bible narrative seems to just skip over that very quickly. But let's speculate for a moment. Let's perhaps think about what that change was from Saul, the persecutor, to Paul, this huge man of God who was so very influential on all of us in the writings and the letters that God inspired through him. Now, we don't know much about Paul, or Saul, as he was called before his conversion. We do know that he was a Jew. He was a highly educated man. He was a Roman citizen, and he was born in Turkey modern day Turkey. It wasn't Turkey at the time. And he studied under a very important and esteemed Pharisee called Gamaliel. Paul viewed Christians as deceitful and was a real threat, as he saw them, to Judaism, which led him to believe that he needed to persecute the followers of Jesus and stop the spread of the gospel. He presided over the killing of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. So with all that behind him, his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road was a complete and total 180 degree change. It's not entirely surprising that there was a gap. Those silent years, Paul had a huge amount to come to terms with. And now we can speculate perhaps a little on what went on during those 3 years. I wonder if Paul wrote the line in Hebrews that we read earlier, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." I wonder if that came from personal experience. I suggest it did. So it would be tempting for Paul, given the position he had, to not want to lose face, not compromise, and perhaps pretend it never happened, or at least intellectualize his way out of it, dismiss what God had done in that, and go back into the world he had before, the world of influence and authority. But he didn't. He accepted all that had happened, and he must have been overwhelmed with guilt and shame. He had had people killed, people who stood for what he now knew was right. In Acts 22, it says that I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them in prison. If he wasn't going to dig in and dismiss God and run the other way, Paul did the only thing that he could do and embrace God in a deeply intimate relationship. And this is why I wanted to come back to this word intimate, because it was through that intimate relationship that Paul had with God that so has impacted the modern world. So what is intimacy? Well, we probably see it in terms of like an unconditional acceptance or and a closeness, a transparent relationship, as it were. Intimacy in a relationship is also, though, an invitation. And it sounds like the word that it is. Intimacy, it means into me, see. And intimacy means that nothing is hidden. It would, the challenge I think we face is what would happen if we made that invitation to God. What would he see if we invited him into me, see? It seems like a brave invitation, but I assure you this is a safe one, because God is kind. He may elicit change, and we sometimes hear those messages about allowing God to search our heart and spotlight on things that are wrong and sinful. And yes, God may well want to change things in our life, sinful behaviours and things that need change. Or he may be calling us to go in a certain direction, like Jonah, and we might want to run the other way. But it's far from the whole story. God wants to refine us, to make us pure, yet dealing with the things that we have done. But he also wants to deal with the things that have been done to us. Jesus is a healer, and he wants to come in and see the scars and the wounds and heal them, make us a complete, ready to be his hands and feet, his sons and daughters. He wants to deal with the wounds that have festered for years and never properly healed, wounds that are now so infected in our heart that perhaps they form the root of some really dark things that need his hand of change. Perhaps as well as changing his worldview, Paul also needed to confront many personal things and needed God's healing touch in the same way that we do. Perhaps, like Paul, we need to reconcile our past so that we move forward with confidence. Now, we often talk about kind of concepts on Sunday mornings and things of how perhaps we can get closer to God. And I wonder whether today may be a good time to just pause for 5 minutes, even just turn the kind of the video off for a few minutes and just invite God in. Because God only enters when he's invited. Love never forces or just grabs control. So perhaps it's maybe a time just to close your eyes and just be at peace, to invite God in to see me. And what does he see? Perhaps he does see scars of rejection, scars from criticism, scars from not knowing the affirmation of a parent, or perhaps even open bleeding wounds from an abusive relationship, or wounds that are creating a self-destruction within us, a cynicism, an anger, a dissatisfaction, or perhaps these wounds are so infected, so sensitive that no one has ever been allowed near them, including God. Perhaps they cause you to react with self-protecting anger. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It could be there's a destructive temptation in your life and he's calling you to turn. Or you may have done things that just need to be laid before God, like Paul did. Let's just remain in this time of perhaps a reflection, and just perhaps as a prayer, we'll just share Psalm 139. It says this: search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. God wants us to come to terms with our past, both the distant and the recent, our childhood and our yesterday. Because if we come to terms with our past, then we'll be fit to come to terms with our present. Paul gained his hope and confidence by reconciling his past. And from that relationship with God, Paul was able to make remarkable statements of truth. Romans 8:28, it says this: and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I believe that Paul said this out of personal experience. It wasn't some sort of theological concept that he had come up with and concocted. This was said because he knew it. And he said it because he knew it, in the same way we can claim these things and move forward in confidence ourselves. However, we do not grow into this relationship with God. This healing isn't about our personal vanity. It's not about us kind of being better and bigger. It is for the glory of God, and it's so that we become productive and that we bear fruit, because this is what we're called to do, to be effective sons and daughters to the King. God's calling on Jonah and Peter and Ruth and Paul was never about them, but it was what God could do through them. And in our moving forward as productive people, our confidence has got to extend knowing that God will resource us in that. And we know that truth, and we need to own that truth, that I lack nothing. So I want to conclude with this kind of thought, and it's rooted in 2 Corinthians 9. And it said, Paul writes this, he says, now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest, the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants to reconcile our past and to heal us. He wants to recognize his voice and to respond to it. God wants to send us out in the world to be fruitful, to enlarge the harvest of our righteousness, to bring glory to him, to be generous on every occasion. And he promises to resource this in us, that we would lack nothing in doing it. But we have to see that these things are parallel, in parallel, they're not sequential. It's not that when we get the intimate relationship, that our reconciliation and the enlarged harvest, we need to run all these things as a continuous parallel process. That God can send us out this morning and every morning into the world, recognizing his voice, engaging in an intimate relationship with him, reconciled and confident of his provision, so that we can give generously of ourselves. And all that we've spoken about this morning has been about God, what he's doing, reaching out to us. But he wants from us a response, an open heart and a generous heart. In Corinthians, it says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under any compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." This is about commitment of money and time and effort. It's about us responding to God. God is saying to us this morning, don't dismiss these things. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. We have to embrace him and embrace this message that we need to respond to him. And it's through this intimate relationship we have with him that he will equip us to be the people that he has called us to be, and then some. Because we lack nothing. We lack absolutely nothing to achieve this. So as we move out from this morning, we need to be at one with our God, realizing that he loves us and he wants to prosper us to his glory, to be the men and women he's called us to be, that the world will know him that little bit better because we were in it. So Lord, bless us. Lord, keep us. Lord, make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lord, turn your face towards us and give us peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been our hope and our prayer that you would hear from God for yourself. We would love to connect with you. You can do that mainly, the best way is through our website, which is www.weltonchurch.org.uk. And you can find email addresses, venues, all the different things that are going on in church life. Please do get in touch. We'd love to have a coffee with you, a Zoom meeting with you, or invite you along to something that's happening in person. For now, have a great week and God bless.